sure do thank the Lord for him. In Luke chapter 15, we have Jesus teaching on that which is lost. We find in the first seven verses, the verses we read, Jesus teaching on the lost sheep. And it's very interesting for you Bible students to notice that the first set is 1 out of 100, Miss Kim. 1 out of 100. Then we find his teaching on the lost silver, which is verses 8 through 10, 1 out of 10. 10 pieces of silver, one was lost. 100 sheep, one was lost. Then we find his teaching on the lost sons. And Brother Jim, some would say 1 out of 2. I'd say 2 out of 2. Amen? In a class that you take in Bible college called hermeneutics, it's interpretation, Bible interpretation class. One of the most important rules for Bible interpretation is to find out who the message is directed to or for. For instance, in 1 Corinthians 10:32, we learn that there are three different divisions of people. There is Jew, Gentile, and the church. Amen. And it's very, very important to understand as you're reading the Bible, who is this written to? And here, it's very interesting because if you look at verse number 1, it says, "Then drew near unto him the publicans and sinners for to hear him." But then in verse 2, it says, "And the Pharisees and the scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them." And verse 3 tells us, "And he spake a parable unto," who? "Them." Well, what does a pronoun modify? English class, you didn't know there's going to be an English exam tonight, amen? It modifies the last noun. And so, who is it talking? Who is the parable of lost things directed to? I'll tell you who it's directed to, the Pharisees and the scribes. It's directed to the Pharisees and the scribes. And it makes sense, especially when you read this passage on the lost sheep. You know, ladies and gentlemen, there are two groups. We talked about, yes, there are Jew and Gentile in church, yes. But in reality, if you can take all those people down, it's not black and white. It's not even male and female. It's saved and lost. Saved and lost. John 3:36 tells us about saved and lost. And here we have the lost. The publicans and sinners were lost, yes, but they realized they were lost. The Pharisees and the scribes were lost, but they didn't think they needed to be saved. And so it's best summed up, if you have time, you can read Matthew chapter 9, verses 1 through 15. And you have those passages there where Jesus heals the sick of the palsy, and then he calls Matthew, and then he answers the Pharisees with this statement, "They that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick." And what he was saying in essence there was not that the Pharisees were whole, they just thought they were whole. So why go to the doctor when you think you're well? The publicans and sinners, Brother Kelly, they knew they were sick. And they knew he had the cure, amen? Hey, thank God for that day that you knew you were sin sick and that he had the cure. Amen. Thank God for that. And so the publicans and sinners knew that they were sick and that Jesus, the great physician, could heal them. The Pharisees were sick, didn't recognize it. Amen. Even here we see the benefits of early diagnosis. We see in verse 1, listening sinners. But in verse 2, we see the murmuring self-righteous. And then in verse 3, we see the teaching Savior. You know, Jesus Christ is the master illustrator. You know, you read the teachings of Christ, and they're ladies and gentlemen, they're the most profound teachings of anyone that has ever walked the earth. But many times they're very simple. He says, "You see that fig tree over there?" And he taught a lesson on it. I wonder if he looked and saw a vine and branches off it. He said, "You see that vine right there? Just like that vine feeds those branches, I'm the true vine, and you're the branches." Just master illustrator that Jesus is. And here, he uses the illustration of sheep. Sheep. Several times he used the illustration of sheep. In Matthew chapter 9, verse 36, he saw the multitudes scattered, do you remember, as sheep having no shepherd. So he talks about the scattered multitudes. In Matthew chapter 26, verse 31, he talks about the disciples on crucifixion eve, how they would they would smite the shepherd and the sheep would be scattered. In John chapter 10, verses 1 through 27, he teaches the illustration of him being the good shepherd and us being the sheep. Later on, he would say that he had other sheep of that were not of this fold. Talking about us, talking about the Gentiles. And so 17 times sheep is mentioned there in John 10, 1 through 27. But I want to look, if we could, at verses 4 through 7 of our text. And I want to just share what I hope will be a simple, easy message, encouraging message, called Wonderful Words for Wounded Sheep. Wonderful words for wounded sheep. I want you to notice in verse number 4, first of all, the tendencies of sheep. Well, we understand he's giving a parable here, and he's giving the difference. The interpretation is simple. He's saying that the Pharisees are like the 99 and that publican is like the one. I understand that. But here he uses the illustration of sheep. And I want you to notice some tendencies of sheep with me. Verse number 4, it says, what man of you having 100 sheep, if he, what's the next two words, church? Lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it. Can I give you some tendencies of sheep? And by the way, we are the sheep of his pasture. That is what he refers to us as, the sheep, amen. I'll give you some tendencies of sheep. The first tendency of sheep is sheep tend to wander. They tend to wander. Think of the song we sing, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing. Know that song? Great song. There's a line there at the end. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, O take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts above. What? Sheep tend to wander. Can I say this along with that? Number two, not only do sheep tend to wander, and that's what happens to this one. He gets off and off from the other sheep and he wanders. But you know what happens? Sometimes when sheep wander, they also get wounded. They also get wounded. Hey, never forget, ladies and gentlemen, that when Satan was allowed to afflict Job, and God said to Satan, he said, what are you doing? He said, what are you doing? And he said, oh, I'm just walking up and down in the earth, just walking to and fro. That wasn't all he was doing. 1 Peter completes the statement, doesn't it? 1 Peter 5:8 tells us, Miss Mary, to be sober, to be vigilant, because our adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. You know, listen, and I'm talking to the Sunday night crowd. You get it. Maybe I need to preach this on Sunday morning. But listen, stay close to the flock. Don't stray away. Because when you wander, you're much more likely to get wounded. Oh, it doesn't mean someone in this church may not wound you. That happens. That happens, absolutely. But it's much more likely if you wander. See, the wolf, he's not going to go into the pack where the shepherd is. He's going to look for that one that's straying. And Satan is walking about seeking whom he may devour. So the tendencies of sheep are sheep tend to wander. Sheep tend to be wounded. And can we say this? When sheep wander and sheep get wounded, sheep get weary. Sheep get weary. Many people, listen, that used to go to church got wounded by the devil and haven't come back yet. Amen. Are weary. They're just tired of it. They're tired of life. They're tired of Brother Ed mentioned the way the world, I can't imagine what it's like down there, brother. I'm telling you what, I would be as mad as a summer hornet if I waited 14 hours for gas and didn't even get a little. Yeah. sheep. God uses that illustration of sheep, and he gives us some tendencies. Tendency of sheep is to wander. It's a tendency of sheep to be wounded, and it's a tendency of sheep to get weary. But can I give you this? Not only the tendencies of sheep, but the thoughts of sheep. You say, well, a sheep is a dumb animal. I agree. And I'm not surprised that God used that to describe us. Amen and amen, and all God's people said. But there are some thoughts that sheep have. You know, sheep have thoughts of pastures. Pastures. We know the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Sheep have thoughts of pastures where they can just go out and graze and not have to worry about anything because the good shepherd is with them. Sheep have thoughts of the pastures. Can I say this? Sheep have thoughts of petting. They love it when the shepherd just takes them and rubs them behind the ear and underneath the chin. They love that. They know, they realize that the shepherd cares. Oh yes, he cares. I know he cares. His heart is touched with my grief. When the days are weary, the long nights dreary, I know my Savior cares. Thoughts of sheep are thoughts of pastures. Thoughts of petting, and along with the pastures, thoughts of peace. He leadeth me beside the what? Still waters. It's peaceful. It's peaceful. That's what sheep think about. They think about peace. And they think about the Savior's protection. You read John chapter 10, and I hope you will. Verse 11, verse 27 through 30 says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. You know what we heard about this morning? If you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you've trusted in the Good Shepherd, you will never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Peace, protection, petting, pastures. The thoughts of the sheep. The tendencies of sheep are to wander, to be wounded, and to get weary. Can I give you, out of our text, the tenderness of the shepherd? The tenderness of the shepherd. So what do you see there? Verse 4. What man of you, and he's rebuking the Pharisees here. You know, the Pharisees, they were all about form and observance and missed the heart of the matter. And if we're not careful, ladies and gentlemen, come on, help me preach now. We can be so concerned with form and observance that we can miss the heart of the matter. The heart of the matter was one had gone astray. The 99 stood there and say, well, that's his problem. Could be a modern independent Baptist church. Well, he made his own bed. So did you. Oh, I've never... Listen... We talked about hell this morning. Every one of us deserves to be in the bed of hell. That's the bed we made. The tenderness of the shepherd here, you see it in verse 4. It says, what man of you having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? See a few things here. I see the shepherd carefully looking. Carefully looking. You know, shepherds had keen eyes. If one would go astray, it wouldn't just, well, we'll have to wait till daylight. No, they'd go out in the night, and they'd look. They'd be on the look of those hillsides. They'd be on the look of those cliffs. They'd be on the look of those escarpments and those rock formations, and they were carefully looking. I want to tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. I'm glad that Jesus Christ was carefully looking for me. Not just when I was lost, Brother Jim, but when I go astray. I'm glad that he's carefully looking for me. Carefully looking. He's not only carefully looking, he's constantly listening, isn't he? The shepherd would look and then he would listen for that bleeding sheep, that That cry of the sheep, do you hear that? You know, the Savior, the Shepherd, is constantly listening for the cry of His sheep. Constantly listening. He's not only carefully looking, He's not only constantly listening, but He's compassionately longing for the sheep. He wasn't concerned with the 90 and 9. He was concerned with the one. He was concerned about the one who had gone astray. One for that wandering, wounded, weary sheep. I love the song, the 90 and 9. Ira Sankey, Brother Case. But none of the ransomed ever knew how deep were the waters crossed, nor how dark was the night that the Lord passed through ere He found His sheep that was lost. Lord, whence are these blood drops all the way that mark out the mountain's track? They were shed for one who had gone astray ere the Shepherd could bring him back. See, the tenderness of the Shepherd is He's carefully looking. He's constantly listening. And He's compassionately longing for His sheep to come back to the flock. And I give you a last point tonight. I'll give you a few sub-points and we'll be done. I want you to notice the tenacity of the Shepherd in verses 4 through 7. The tenacity of the Shepherd. First of all, He is undeterred by the ratio. Most people would say, hey, look, I played some basketball in my life, Brother Jim, and we used to have to take free throws. Oh, we have to take a bunch of free throws. And we had a coach that was so mean, and like every basketball coach ought to be. I mean, it'd have to be a requirement to be a basketball coach. Can't be nice, amen. He would come up to the foul line, Brother Bryce, and he actually had a pinched leg. He'd been in a motorcycle accident. So Brother Horsey, he'd come up to the foul line like this. He said, all right, if I make this free throw, you don't have to run. But if I miss it, you're all going to have to run. And he might as well have not even been looking. He just went like this, didn't even come close, you know, and we had to run. But I remember Coach doing things like that, and he would put us on the free throw line. He said, eventually you're going to come to the end of the game, and you're going to have to make a free throw. And so we would take 30, 40, 50 free throws. I'm going to tell you this. If I hit 99 out of 100 free throws, Mama Holland, I'd think that was pretty good. I'd be pretty content with that. If I hit 90, I don't know if I ever hit 80. I don't know. Listen, if I had 99 out of 100 of anything, I would think that's a pretty good ratio. I go back to my aerospace days. One year in particular, I was a final inspector for Pratt & Whitney Canada, and I personally passed through over 500,000 parts that year. And I had 12 parts. Now they were important parts. 12 parts that were simply, they had the wrong marking on them. There was nothing structurally wrong with them. They were the wrong marking. I remember going up to the customer for my biannual training, and I went up there, and my quality ratio was 99.999997. It was in Quebec, so they spoke with the French accent. I could just hear Brother Filion saying this to me. They said, well, why did you not perfect? And I literally got thrown back a little bit. I said, well, good night. I'm a human being, amen. I missed it, amen. It was what happened. This is a situation where, ladies and gentlemen, the Shepherd says 99's not enough. I want them all. I want them all. And this 99, you stay right here. The tenacity of the Shepherd is He goes after the sheep. I think about the importance of just one. Just one. Another aerospace story, I remember hearing this. I was at training for a different company with General Electric, and they told us the story of Flight 1288 out of Atlanta. And it was Pratt & Whitney JT 80219 engine. It had what was called a catastrophic turbine failure on the tarmac. They went out and they fired up those engines, and one of the turbine discs literally flew apart and flew through the fuselage of the plane and killed a mother, a son, and wounded three other people. Literally, it would be like a saw blade flying through the plane. You know, when they say, make sure your luggage is stowed underneath, that's exactly what happened. She reached down and that thing came flying through, killed her. They figured out what it was. It was very simply, I boil it all down, it was a particular test that was done on those discs. They put it in a neon solution. And then they take it out and they let it dry, and then they take a microscope and put it over, and that neon solution will show any cracks. Well, what happened was they had two piles of these large discs, but neither one was labeled which was done and which wasn't. It was as simple as that. First shift went home. Second shift thought this one was done, Brother Jim, and it wasn't. Shipped it out. Got on a plane, one, just one. Aren't you glad? I think about Brother Ed in Puerto Rico. I think about other missionaries I met. I think about one of my favorite missionaries. We don't support him. I'd like to one day if God would let us. One of my favorite missionaries is Brother James Dean. And yes, his name is really James Dean. Yes, yes, for all you children of the 50s, amen. We used to call him, when we were in Bible college, we called him the rebel without a clue, amen. He was... Yeah, Brother Swaffer, he is in the Siberian Arctic. And we used to joke all the time with him. He said, Siberian Arctic? Boy, God must have called you there. Amen. Brother Horsch, if he wins 25 people in his ministry, it'd be a miracle. But I'm going to tell you what, God cares about those people up in the Siberian Arctic. God is undeterred by the ratio. You think of 8 billion people on planet Earth. You know what? God's not willing that any of them should perish. That all should come to repentance. So he's undeterred by the ratio. When I think of the tenacity of the shepherd, something else I think of. I think of the Savior, the shepherd, is unfinished until the rescue. He is unfinished until the rescue. Read the text. What man of you having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost, last four words, until he find it. Until he find it. He is unfinished until the rescue. J. Sidlow Baxter, one of my favorite writers, just enjoy his, he's a very just deep writer, thank God. He said this, year after year, he tracks after some of us when all we deserved is to be left to our own obstinate folly and final ruin. But you know what? The shepherd, his tenacity is he's unfinished until the rescue. He wouldn't get to the sheep and then just say, oh well, I found you. No. No, not until he rescues it. Not until he grabs it. The Bible says he picks it up, and when he hath found it, verse 5, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. Again, that great song, the 99, rejoice for the Lord brings back his own. Rejoice for the Lord brings back his own. And then you know what, really? He is undimmed in his rejoicing too. The tenacity of the shepherd is he's undeterred by the ratio. He's unfinished until the rescue. He's undimmed in his rejoicing. What does it say there? And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're here tonight, you are probably one of God's sheep. Probably. There might be a goat in here. I don't know. As I say so often, there's only one person in this room that I know is saved, and that's me. No offense. I hope you'd say the same thing. But as sheep, we can tend to wander. Amen? Amen. This is not just for publicans and sinners. It's for members of independent Baptist churches. We can tend to wander. We can get wounded. We can get weary. Thank God we have a shepherd who is undeterred by the ratio. If you go astray and say, well, have your own, you know, just go ahead. No, he's tracking you.
Amen.
He's tracking you. He's unfinished until the rescue. Later on, we'll read about the story of the prodigal son. And the Bible says, when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants do my father have? And they have bread enough to spare. And I'm his son, and I'm going to die out here of hunger. I'm just going to go and come to my father and tell him I've sinned. And then he got up and did what he said he would do. You know, it's one thing to make a resolution. It's another thing to follow through on it. And as soon as his father, the shepherd, saw him, he ran to him and met him and fell on his neck and kissed him. See, the tenacity of our shepherd is he's unfinished until the rescue. But then he's undimmed in the rejoicing. That son did exactly what he said. He fell down at his feet and he said, look, Father, I just want to be a servant. And the father said, oh, I don't think so. Bring the best robe. Bring the ring. Put it on his finger. Put shoes on his feet and kill the fatted calf.
Amen.
My son that was lost is found. Amen. I'm going to tell you this, ladies and gentlemen. Every time you come to the Lord in repentance, where you say, I was wrong and you were right, God says, come back. Thank God, my son that was lost is found.
Yeah.
Amen. He came back home. Wonderful words for wounded sheep.
Amen.
Amen. Father, thank you for your word tonight.